And how fitting. And Dave Archer here alongside John Michaels, Atlanta Falcon Radio Network co-workers. And we are joined. It was a special teams play that ended the game. Rashid Hegman elevates on the long field goal and knocks it to the ground, much like he did when he was in college. And we're joined by the best when it comes to getting after people in special teams, Eric Weems. E, good to see you, bud.
All right, thank you for having me.
Six tackles yesterday. That's unprecedented. You got to go back to, I think, 2011, since a player of the National Football League had six tackles in a game. And I think it's only the fourth time since 2006 that a player has had six special teams tackles in one game. What's it take to play special teams in the National Football League?
Attitude. The biggest thing for it is attitude. You got to want to do it. You can't just go out there and consider just another down. You know, to me, special teams is the most important down. It sets up field position and it stops field position. You know, it sets up the offense and it sets up the defense.
You know, when you talk about attitude, being down on the field, when you guys run down on kick coverage or punt coverage, it's like a car crash. How do you get your mind and the mentality to say, you know what, I'm going to run down here, I'm going to run into two or three guys and make sure that I can get my job done?
Well, it's tough because each play you're covering at least 70 yards of ground each play, and then you have a guy across from you that's trying to stop you. And it's like once you reach that top speed, it's hard to slow down. So it's like it's a hit or a miss. Either he's going to hit you or he's going to miss you.
Whenever I talk to the room that you spend most of your time in, the wide receiver room, whether it's Roddy White, Julio Jones, it doesn't matter who it is, the respect level that those guys have for you and what you bring to the table is through the roof. I would venture to say, if you were to guess, and I know Roddy's a captain, as you are a captain on special teams, that you might be the leader of that room. I mean, that's kind of the way they talk about you in that vein.
You know, I try to be a leader. You know, I try to lead by example with things. But as far as that group, I consider Roddy as the leader of that group. You know, he's been here the longest. He's been in Atlanta all his career. You know, I just got back here. So, you know, I look up to Roddy as the leader of that group.
Well, we just lent you to Chicago. We just wanted you to get paid, go to Chicago and get you back here.
Talk about that, coming back here. How did it make you feel to come back home?
It felt real good to come back, you know. It felt good, you know, guys. I still know some of the guys here, so it felt like I never left. You know, it feels great to be back. You know, I love being in this city, and most important, I love being in the Dome. You know, when it's December, I ain't got to worry about being outside.
Now, we do have December 9th in Green Bay, so we still have to worry about being outside for a moment. You come back, you get a Devin Hester on your side on special teams. And when you were here before, you were returning kicks, punts. You were a playmaker on this team. Talk about what it's like to watch that guy and be on his team. And I know you were there with him in Chicago.
Right, man. He's amazing. You know, he's liable to do anything when he has the ball in his hands. You know, you just have to, you know, you can't, when you're watching him, you can't blink your eyes. Because if you blink your eyes, you'll miss something.
Keith Armstrong talked about during preseason with Devin on the team, there were a lot of young players playing on special teams that he had to make sure that they weren't trying to watch him do his thing too. That, hey, wait a minute, you're on the field. You've got to help him do his thing. Because you had played with him, how much did you help to kind of make that happen with some of the young players that are playing a lot of special teams?
I see it now like young guys, you know, some of them don't get it coming out of college. You know, guys coming in the league now thinking, oh, well, I'm going to be the starting quarterback or I'm going to be the starting wide receiver or I'm going to be the starting DB. But it's not that. You know, you have to earn your role. You have to earn your role on special teams, and that's how you have to be able to come up. You know, special team is very important, just as well as playing offense or defense. It's a third phase of the game. You know, once the coin is tossed, the first phase of the game is special teams.
Eric Weems with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the player guest here on the Mike Smith Show. And Eric Weems, in case you did miss the game and you're under a rock yesterday, had six tackles on special teams. And that's not the only place he contributes. He comes in a lot of the dirty situations on offense where if they need a receiver that's willing to stick his head in there and chip an edge rusher, a guy that's willing to catch the ball underneath in traffic in the danger zone, Eric Weems gets all that kind of stuff done. I know you love to play. There's probably not enough plays out there for you.
Right. You know, I just love to play football. I love to win. I love to play. You know, I'm getting paid to do something that I love. You know, you got to love this game. You can't just play the game. You got to love it. It's a passion.
Now, you have to love it when you're on the road for 42 straight days as the Falcons. Well, it's been a long time. What's it going to feel like
it's
Sunday
tough.
When you get to run out on the dome again?
Oh, man. I hope it's electrifying once we get back. You know, we're on a two-game streak, so hopefully everyone come out and support us, you know, and try to get 1-0 once again.
Eric, when you guys have had, there's been moments in games where the thing seems like it may be slipping, and certainly these last 2 weeks, teams have taken the lead in the fourth quarter on you. What have you guys been able to do over the last couple of weeks to kind of flip the switch the other way, kind of the way this team was back in 2012? I know you're in Chicago, but in 2012, that's the way they were.
Right.
What have you guys been able to do to kind of flip it around?
Resiliency. You know, like you say, we've been in situations like this before. Guys didn't panic. You know, you can't, in that situation, you can't panic. You know, everyone has to keep calm and do your job. And you do your job, good things are going to happen for you.
Have you paid attention to what's going on around the league? I mean, you guys are – obviously you're sub 500. You're at 4-6. But
right.
You're still – you're sitting on top of the division. And you now have your destiny in your own hands. Have you paid attention to that at all?
Yeah, I pay attention to it, you know, every Sunday, every Monday, you know. We just got to continue to get better. We just got to continue to get better. You know, each and every week we're thinking 1-0. And we try to control what we can control.
You're 2-0 now off the bye. How do you move forward with that, not playing a divisional opponent who you're used to playing in a Carolina or Tampa, taking on somebody that you only see once every few years in Cleveland?
To us, it's another game. It's another game that we have to win. We're going to prepare for it. Like, this is our last game, and that, you know, Cleveland, they're a tough team. You know, they're last in their division, but – you know, they're one game out of the division lead. So we know they're a tough team, and they're going to come in and give us their best shot.
Eric, one of your friends and one of your receiver brethren just did something pretty special this weekend. And 42 players that have played this game over the 90 years we played in the National Football League went over 10,000 yards, receiving yards. Quantify that to what you think about it, and how much did that mean to Roddy to do that?
Oh, man, that's great for Roddy. You know, I'm very excited for him for him reaching that mark. You know what I mean? He's been here all his career. You know, he deserves it. He's a hardworking guy. He goes out and practice, works hard in practice, and it shows come game day.
You know, one of the things, it seems like you guys as a receiver core are really brothers on and off the field. There was a moment yesterday where a couple of guys get into it and you all had each other's back. What do you guys do off the field to really keep that bond as tight as it seems on the field?
Sometimes we hang out. We'll probably go like to Harry's house, Roddy's house, Julio's house. We'll play cards, have game nights, you know, watch the game, eat wings and stuff like that. You know, we love being around each other. We love being around each other. We love hanging around each other, and we make it fun. You know, we make it to where we could come to work every day and enjoy each other.
Eric Weems with us here on the player portion of the Head Coach Mike Smith Show. When we come back with E, we're going to ask him about who is that guy that likes to talk the most junk on the field. I know he doesn't take a backseat to anybody now. He could get his in as well. We're joined by Eric Weems. It's Dave Archer and John Michaels right here on Sports Radio. And Eric had an unbelievable game yesterday, as he normally does, but six tackles special teams-wise. Eric's with us in our player guest portion of the show. E, you come from an HBCU, historically black college or university, in Bethune-Cookman. It's near your hometown where you grew up in Ormond
right.
Beach.
Right.
Was that the decision you decided to stay at home, or did you just want to be there in any way?
Yeah, that made me decide to stay home. That made me decide to stay home, you know, with my fam. Everybody's close by, you know, so they could come watch me play football in my own backyard. And it was home for me, you know. Whenever I wanted a home-cooked meal, I could just go home right up the street to mom's house. You know, so there was a lot of deciding factors in that.
Now, when you talk about that home-cooked meal, what's your meal that you got to go home to mom for? What's she making?
Oxtails. I love oxtails. That's my favorite. Oxtails and rice and macaroni and cheese. Oh, man.
They had some mac and cheese yesterday when we were leaving the stadium.
Yeah,
how did that rack? That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. I had to get two scoops of that.
178 receptions, over 2,500 yards, 19 touchdowns in 42 games as a Wildcat at Bethune-Cookman. you went to high school right there. You mentioned Seabreeze High School. What do you remember about those days? I mean, boy, there's so much talent in the state of Florida. Now, if you don't know where this is, let me give you a little bit of a roadmap. It's about halfway between Orlando and Jacksonville. Is that fair?
Yeah, along
the coastline.
Along the coastline. Yep, that's fair. High school, man, I love high school. You know, it was a lot of competition in high school. You know, it was a lot more big name guys who I went to school with. You know, maybe one come off hand, Xavier Lee. He ended up going to Florida State. You know, he was my quarterback in high school. You know, they made competition really good at our school. You know, with our crosstown rivals, Mainland. You know, Mainland was a school that all the guys went to who I grew up with. So, but I went the opposite direction, you know, because I wanted to play against them guys. I didn't want to play with them. I played with them, you know, in elementary and Pop Warner League. So I wanted to compete against those guys, and they made it fun.
Talking about going to HBCU and Bethune-Cookman, the legacy of historically black colleges of putting people into the NFL and succeeding in the NFL, was that part of your process when you were getting ready to go, knowing that going to a smaller school, you still could get to the league if you played the way that you do?
My main thing was to work hard and let everything else take care of itself. You know, hard work brings good luck, you know, and I had a lot of faith in going to Bethune, and I knew with hard work and dedication that I put in, something good was going to happen.
John Chaney, the legendary coach at Temple, is from Bethune-Cookman. It's a long list of people. Larry Little, if you remember, some of the older fans out there remember Larry Little, the pulling guard for the undefeated Miami Dolphins, a Hall of Famer, also went to Bethune-Cookman. A number, as John said, a number of players, including, in fact, if you pull up Bethune-Cookman and you pull up the name of the university, there's Eric Weems' face. So he's a prominent member and prominent. And I know you're excited about being from Bethune-Cookman. Not an easy track for you, though, when you got in the league. You came in as a rookie free agent in 07, released, put back on the practice squad.
Right.
Tell me about at the end of that season, they elevated you and put you on the active roster for the first time. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. That was they activated me in the Seattle game, which I didn't get any snaps that game. You know, during that season, it was a lot going on that season.
That was a bad year.
Real bad year.
What were your feelings, though, knowing you're suiting up for your first regular season, even though you didn't get on the field, but you're putting it on for real this time?
Right. You know, I was nervous. I was real nervous, you know, but at the same time, I was excited. You know, I tried to stay calm. I tried to, you know, take deep breaths at a time each play. Hopefully, you know, I could get in this play, get in that play. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, I didn't get to see a snap. Besides, I think we won that game, and I got in victory formation.
Oh, you did?
That
okay.
was my first snap victory formation. Yeah, that was my first snap victory formation. So, you know, it was a great experience, though. It was a great experience.
Now, you come back in 08, again, released at the end of training camp, but you're signed to the practice roster. And then midway through the season, you're elevated, and then you become at that point, you become a full-time NFL player. You're on the roster as you're elevated in November of 2008. And then let's fast forward to 2009, or 2010, I'm sorry, a monster year for you. You go to a Pro Bowl, 16 special teams tackles. You averaged almost 13 yards a punt return, took one back for a touchdown. We remember it down in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you averaged almost 30 yards a return in kickoff returns and took one back in the playoffs for a touchdown. Talk about that season, going to the Pro Bowl and being considered one of the best in the game.
It was a great season for us, you know. It wasn't just all me. It was the guys that we had on special teams as well. With Antoine Harris, Steve Nicholas, Corey Wire. You know, Corey Wire was one of the guys on that special teams unit also. You know, we had a great unit that year. I think we was like 3-4 in the league or something like that. We had a lot of guys on that team with attitudes, you know, where the competition was who gonna make this play. You know, that was the whole attitude. Who's finna get this tackle? Who's finna get that tackle? You know, it was very competitive.
Now, let's talk about off the field a little bit. Let's get to know Eric Weems a little bit. They showed at the end of HBO's Hard Knocks, playing spades with the wide receiver core. You said you guys got a little bit shorted on what the footage was all about.
Yeah, they shorted us. Me and Harry was giving it to them all day. You know, Julio gets one book, so now they want to air Julio getting the book. Oh, they did us dirty. You know, we had them in there mad, pouting, crying. They didn't show that footage. I don't know why they didn't show that.
I loved it. How was that experience?
Oh, Eric? It was good. You know, it was my first time. You know, I just had got back. So, and Harry was telling, you know, we wanted to play cards and the guys wanted to film. So I was like, okay, all right. You know, I was just going to be myself. You know, we was in there talking trash, you know. But, you know, they gave us a short end of the stick, me and Harry. We end up winning, by the way.
just for those you keep it scored. Hold right. On. They ended up winning the card game. You go to Chicago. Obviously, it's a business decision. I think that's it, which gets lost a lot of times, the fans, that you're an independent contractor. How did you handle the whole making sure that you didn't burn any bridges? There was no ill will. You knew it was business because at some point you would come back, and here you are.
Right, right. And anything you do, you never want to burn any bridges. You know, you always be thankful for what you got, what type of opportunities you have. You got to be thankful. You know, you thank the coaching staff. You thank the GM. You thank Mr. Blank. You thank everyone. You thank the whole city, you know, for giving you the opportunity. But unfortunately, things didn't work out. You know, and by me not burning any bridges, you know, when I got released from Chicago, you know, this was one of the top three teams that called me. Say, hey, we want to bring you in for a workout. You know, would you be interested? Of course. Why would I turn that down?
Is that some of the stuff you learned, having to go the tough route that you took to get into the NFL? Did you learn to be a lot more humble? Because some of the players that come into this league think they're owed things, and you're right. Obviously not that way.
Right. You know, everything is humbling. You know, very few opportunities in this league. You know, a lot of guys come in every year to try out for the team and try to make the team, but only few get a roster spot.
Eric Weems here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, as we close out here in the back half, I asked the question, I teased the question that we're going to talk to you a little bit about what goes on the field, some of the trash talking, and we know it can get pretty heavy at times.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
you're not a guy that'll shy away. Talk about that. How much of that do you hear on the field?
I hear a lot of trash talk, you know, but trash talk, it raised your level of play. You know, if you're going to tell a guy across from you, oh, you about to kick his you know what, then that next play, you better do it. You know what I mean? Because he's going to come hard, so that means you have to go even harder because he's expecting you to come do what you said you're going to do.
Now, is there another guy out there that you, in your days of playing, I mean, 8 years in the National Football League, now you've heard a lot of trash talk.
Yeah.
Does somebody rival you a little bit?
My guy who I played with in Chicago, he's by the name of Blake Costanzo.
Okay.
That's all he do is talk trash after every play, get in your face and headbutt and be doing all that in your face, you know. Hopefully, you know, he makes you want to draw a penalty on him. That's how much trash talk he does after a play.
Is there a region of the country or a specific group, maybe conference affiliation from a college, that comes in talking the most trash? Are the SEC guys the loudest?
No, I wouldn't say the SEC guys are the loudest. It depends on who you're playing, what team you're playing. It depends on the unit as well, and the coach that's on the unit, to where the guy, how they're going to play. You know, the guys that are coming in this weekend, they talk a lot of trash. Cleveland, you know, they've always had a good special team unit. They talk a lot of trash as well. So, you know, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I know Joe Hayden, one of their corners,
right,
likes to talk.
He's he's
Florida
big time
Gator.
Talk. Yeah, big time talk. So, like you say, probably like you say, SEC. You know.
Yeah. when you look at a guy like Roddy White, who's, we talked about his 10 years or his 10,000 yards. He's been here for a long time. I've considered him the best receiver in Falcon history. Obviously, the numbers would indicate that. Roddy seems like he's a guy that if you get him heated up, it can get kind of nasty out there. But he doesn't look like he spends a lot of time spending in any guy's ears.
Oh yeah, but it just take to push the wrong button with Roddy. You push the wrong button. You push the wrong button. He's ready. He just like 41 did. You know, 41 last week. I forgot his name.
Roman Harper.
Yeah, Harp. He pushed his button. So when he pushed that button, you better be ready for it.
Did you guys have the concerted effort? Did you know the next play was going to unfold the way that it did?
Oh,
Hester
man.
Clean in the pile, and then basically it turned into WWE.
Harry in the middle of it. I expect Harry to get it some best. That's just Harry. That's his scheme. That's what he liked to do. You know, that's why I love playing with Harry. You know, he's physical. He likes to play. He doesn't shy away from contact.
You talk how much you like to play in the Dome. You get to come home 42 days away from the Dome, as John mentioned. What are you hoping that the Dome is like come Sunday?
And the Dome needs to be loud when we come here Sunday. You know, we haven't had a home game in 42 days. You know, we're happy to be back. You know, we're on a two-game win streak right now. And hopefully, you know, when we play this Sunday, they're going to be loud and help us get 1-0.
Well, I know there was no one more excited then special teams coach Keith Armstrong when number 14 came available to bring him back to Atlanta. Eric Weems, E, we really appreciate you taking the time with us,
man. Thank you for having me.
That's Eric Weems, and hopefully he's the special teams player of the week because I can't think of anybody else. In fact, the Falcons have nominated him, so hopefully he'll end up with that award. But thanks, E, we appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And that's it. That's the Mike Smith Show. And thanks to Eric Weems, and we also thank Mike Smith for joining us here. John, appreciate you sitting in. You look very nice. He's dressed. You guys can't see him, but he's dressed very dapper. Appreciate your time.
Try to be sharp.
Thank you, buddy. All right. Back in the big dome. It's Cleveland at 1 o'clock. Make sure you join us right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.